Blessings to Israel presents Discerning the Times, a program committed to encouraging you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please join us for today's program.
Welcome to the program. So glad to be with you once again this week as we are airing our pre-recorded interview with Dr. David Reagan on his recent book, America's Suicide. If you missed last week, please visit our website, blessingstoisrael.com. Go to the media section and look for America's Suicide Part 1. Now, let us rejoin Dr. David Reagan. I tell you, our nation really has turned from God, and we see the evidence of that. We want to now talk about apostate churches, but I'm not leaving the topic of systemic racism completely, because as we talk about apostate churches, I want to play a clip from New York Governor Kathy Hochul. And she was speaking at a church in New York City in 2021, September of last year.
I really have to listen to her. Go ahead and play it.
All right.
We're not through this pandemic. I wished we were. But I prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers, he made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love? But to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live. I want our kids to be safe when they're in schools. I want you to be safe when you go to a doctor's office or to a hospital and are treated by somebody. You don't want to get the virus from them. You're already sick or you wouldn't be there. We have to solve this, my friends. I need every one of you. I need you to let them know that this is how we can fight this pandemic, come back to normal, and then start talking about the real issues that we have to. Fighting systemic racial injustice, which exists today. And if there's a denier, I will take you on any date because I've seen it. I know it exists. And we are not going to have a blind eye to this ever again, any longer under my watch. And that is my commitment to you.
So Dr. Reagan, I hope you didn't become physically sick by listening to that.
Well, I was right on the urge. I'll tell you, Brian, what incredible arrogance for a secular humanist pagan politician.
Right.
To get and say, now God has spoken to me and God has told me that you have to get a vaccination. If you don't get one, then you're just not a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's arrogance gone to seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Amazing. But that is what we have in churches today. So how have our churches gotten to this point where we see just the gross apostasy that you see all around us?
Well, you can see it every Sunday on TV if you turn on and watch some of the TV evangelists or TV pastors. Because what has happened is that the church has gotten in bed with the world. The church is more interested in the world's approval than it is in the approval of God. And so you can find quote unquote Christian pastors anywhere in America today who will be willing to step before a TV camera and say, I believe abortion is just a blessing of God. I've actually heard him say that. I believe abortion is just a blessing of God. I see nothing wrong with a homosexual lifestyle. I see nothing wrong with same-sex marriage. You can find so-called Christian pastors who will endorse every abomination known to man. As Isaiah said in chapter 5, one of the things that brought down the nation of Judah was people called evil good and good evil. And that's what we've got going on in this nation today. We have people who pretend to represent God who are saying every evil known to man is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And it's not okay.
Yeah.
We have a holy God. And he expects us to read his word and abide by his word. And when we don't, we're going to pay the price.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have one last clip that I want to share. And this is a pastor of a mega church that speaks to exactly what you were talking about, Dr. Reagan, with endorsing and embracing immorality. He is Jamal Bryant, the pastor of New Birth Church in Stonecrest, Georgia. He's speaking shortly after the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
This week, America turned back the hands of time and declared a war on women in this nation. I wanted us to stand resolvedly to say to this nation that if America was authentically pro-life, then they would immediately abolish the death penalty. If they were really pro-life, then they would put more money into Head Start programs. If they were pro-life, they would seek to cure the opiate addiction in this nation. If they were pro-life, they would make sure that teachers feel safe in their schools. If they were pro-life, there would be stricter measures about gun control in this nation. If it was pro-life, we would not have to deal with food insecurity. But I stand with now the living matriarch of the movement, Maxine Waters, who said they have declared war on 32 million women in this nation. And one thing about a woman, when she is focused, she is not going to stop until she gets what she needs. We stand, but we realize that this is not just a woman's issue. Unless I don't understand how pregnancy works, men have to extend their voices as well. And so we speak to this nation to declare that New Birth stands with the amazing women of this church, of this community, and of this country, that women have the right to have authority over their body. And it should not be legislated by men in Washington, D.C.
Dr. Reagan, the sad thing is this type of thing is all too common in churches today.
I know. Yeah, the only thing that the Supreme Court's declaring war on is people who murder babies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's just unbelievable. But you can find these guys. They have no respect for the Word of God. They take everything in the Word of God they don't like, and they spiritualize it to mean something else. It reminds me of W.A. Criswell, who was pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas for 50 years. And here's what he had to say about those people. He said, those people practice a leopard theology. And he said, what I mean by that is that they believe the Bible is only inspired in spots, and they know which spots.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Well, you mentioned your childhood growing up, how it was in school, and I'm sure that you could not have imagined 50 years ago that our nation would be where it is today, just consumed with immorality and violence. What do you say about that in the book?
Well, I say a lot about it in the book. When I was growing up, I was so thankful when I was able to live through the decade of the 1950s. The 1950s was sort of the epitome of Christian power in the United States. It was during that decade, for example, this comes as a shock to people. It was during that decade, the 1950s, that Congress adopted under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. And it was during that decade that they passed all kinds of legislation in behalf of religious freedom. And it was just a wonderful time to live. There were problems during that time, definite problems. And one of those problems was racism. And it was still going well during that time. But with regard to the respect of God's word and God, it was a time of great respect. But then during the 60s, this nation began to rebel. And the rebellion became very intense during that time. We can say one good thing about the 60s, and that is that great legislation was passed to give black people in this nation more equality. But with regard to morality, it was a whole different situation. In fact, Brian, one thing I have noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this or not, is that many, many people in this nation who claim to be conservatives, particularly those on television, even those on Fox News, who claim to be conservatives, or conservatives with regard to financial things, mm-hmm. regard to physical things, regard to the budget and operating within our income. But when it comes to morality, they are not conservative at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was outraged just recently when Fox News decided that they would go along with what has been happening ever since Clinton. Clinton was the first person to declare June to be Homosexual Pride Month. And Fox News this year decided to get on the bandwagon, and they started parading homosexuals before the camera. They began to talk about the glories of the homosexual lifestyle and that we should celebrate June as that moral perversion month. And that's because so many conservatives are not moral conservatives. They just are fiscal conservatives. That's why it's so important for people who are true Christians, who truly believe God's word, to stand up and speak out. We shouldn't just give up because this nation has gone into such darkness. But what we should do is we should stand for, we should be light and salt, and we should be speaking out in every way we can in behalf of righteousness and what is correct. We should be standing against abortion, standing against the moral perversion movement. And so many Christians have just given in, and pastors have decided the only way we can be popular is we've got to get on board and go with the world.
Mm, yeah, that is the sad reality. It's a very sad reality, but you're speaking truth. I agree with you totally. So, Dr. Reagan, has God warned our nation? And talk also about how does God deal with nations such as ours that he's so greatly blessed but has turned against him?
Well, God is very, very patient. And his patience is beyond anything I can, most of us can possibly imagine. But he does have a very definite pattern of dealing with nations, particularly nations he has blessed like ours, and how he deals with them when they turn against him. And that pattern is clear. It is the pattern of how God dealt with the nation of Judah, which he blessed like no other nation until ours. And when they turned their back on him, he had a way of dealing with them. And what he does when a nation he's blessed has turned his back, first he sends prophetic voices. He raises up prophetic voices in the nation to call the nation to repentance. And very seldom, if ever, do the nation pay any attention to the prophetic voices. But God will call them. He will call one after another after another. He will tell them to speak out against the nation's sins and call the nation to repentance. And God did that over and over and over with the nation of Judah, and he's been doing it with our nation since the mid-1970s. Second, if the nation does not pay attention to the prophetic voices, then the second thing God does is he raises up remedial judgments, judgments that are designed to bring people to repentance. And I would say, for example, give you some examples of remedial judgments in our recent history. I believe the Vietnam War was one of those remedial judgments, causing us a war that resulted in our total humiliation, a war that so many Americans died in unnecessarily, and he would use that as a way of calling us to repentance. Others would be the Hurricane Katrina. These are major events. Hurricane Katrina, for example, was timed precisely to develop in the Gulf of Mexico. It was not one of those hurricanes that came over across the Atlantic Ocean, but it developed almost overnight in the Gulf of Mexico on the last day that we were forcing the nation of Israel to give up its occupation of the Gaza Strip. Mm-hmm. And we were forcing thousands of Israelis out of that area. They were having to tear down their synagogues, move their cemeteries and everything else. And then also it hit New Orleans on the day that the annual homosexual festival was supposed to occur that drew over 150, 200,000 homosexuals. And so it was perfectly timed as God's statement about those two events. And yet we turned over, it was, as one person put it, our reaction was like that of a sleepy man whose alarm clock goes off and he just rolls over and hits the button that silences the alarm and makes it ring about 30 minutes later. So, you know, the pause button. But God, if the stock market crash in 1987 was a tremendous disaster. It caused the Great Recession, and that happened on the Jewish New Year. And the number of points that fell was 777. When I saw that, I said, hey, that's God's signature. He's making it clear that this is coming from him because, as you know, 777 stands for perfection. 777 stands for the Trinity. 666 stands for the Satanic Trinity. So there's just been one remedial judgment after another. Afghanistan, a remedial judgment where God is calling us to repentance. He always does that for nations he's blessed. Prophetic voices, remedial judgment. The prophetic voices, it's interesting. In 1944, Peter Marshall, who was the foremost Christian spokesman in America, gave a sermon in New Orleans in which he said, this is 1944, this is next to the last year of World War II. He says, we are on top of the world now as the world's greatest superpower. We are leading the nations of the world against fascism. But he said, I say to you, that our nation has severe systemic problems that need to be dealt with. And if we don't deal with them, God's going to deal with us. And he pointed out racism, and he pointed out materialism. He says, I predict to you that when World War II ends, there is going to be the greatest surge of materialism in this country that we have ever known. And in the process, we will forget about God. He says, what we need in the years following this war is a prophetic voice that will call this nation to repentance and tell this nation that its God really is not the God of the universe, but its God is the almighty dollar. Well, that's exactly what happened. Almost exactly, 44, 54, 64, 30 years ago, 30 years later. And that's when Dave Wilkerson was called by God in 1984, to write the book, The Vision, that God had given this vision. And in that book, he made it clear that God was furious over us being caught up in materialism and forgetting about him, and that if we didn't turn our hearts back to God, God was going to pour out all kinds of wrath upon this nation. And his book was so strong and so powerful that his book was actually removed from Pentecostal charismatic bookstores and from their churches, because they said, oh, no, that will never happen. We're going to have great revival after great revival after great revival. He became a pariah. Prior to that, he was their proudest spokesman. Movies had been made about him. Suddenly, he was no longer acceptable among them, and because he was negative. And that's, incidentally, nothing new. If you look in the Bible, that is the response to all prophets, all prophets. Nobody likes prophets. Right. Nobody likes to hear the truth. They like pillow prophets who tell them, oh, God loves you. Don't worry about it. God will wink at your sin. God is going to bless you regardless. And that's what they want to hear. People don't want to read the book I've written about America's suicide because they don't want to hear about that. They want to hear about the glorious revival that's about to occur. And you hear preachers talking about that. Let me tell you something. There is no glorious revival about to occur. It's very clear that I have people tell me, well, it's occurred in the past. We've grown cold in the Lord, and there'd be a great revival. Grow cold in the Lord, great revival. And that's true. There have been great revivals in the past. But, Brian, we are no longer cold about the Lord. We are in open rebellion against God Almighty. We are shaking our fist at God. To put it in the crudest terms, we are giving God the finger this day because we hate him and we hate his word as a nation. And we even had for example, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the House of Representatives, trying to think of his name, fellow from New York, he stood up in the United States Congress a few months ago and said, we don't care in this Congress what some God has to say about anything. And that would be unthinkable in the 1950s. And yet, here is a person saying that. And I'm telling you, God is patient. He is overwhelmingly patient. He puts up with sin so long, it's just unbelievable how long he is willing to put up with it. But a day of reckoning is coming. Let me just read you a passage from the book of Nahum. Most of Christians don't know the minor prophets, but in the book of Nahum, there is a statement that is really applicable today. Nahum 1, verses 2 and 3. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversary, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. That's the God we're dealing with, and yet the average American simply does not believe that the God of this universe is a God who can pour out his wrath. Listen to 2 Chronicles 36. These are two of the saddest verses in the Bible. You can almost hear God weeping. This he's saying about Judah. He loved Judah. Judah he gave great leaders to, great kings. He gave them prosperity. He had his temple located there. His Shekinah glory lived in the temple. He gave this nation blessings like no one else. And yet, when he sent Jeremiah to them and said, you either repent or I'm going to destroy this nation, you know what the people said? They said, the temple, the temple, the temple. What they meant by that is, Jeremiah, you're full of wind. You are a false prophet, because God will never allow anybody to touch us, because his glory lives in the temple, and he would never allow anybody to destroy that temple. Yet finally, God came to the end of his patience. He allowed the Romans to destroy the nation and destroy the temple. And here's what God said after it. 2 Chronicles 36, 15 and 16. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messenger, the prophets, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, the temple. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of God rose against his people, until there was no remedy. We need to wake up to the fact of who we're dealing with in this nation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing, Dr. Reagan, all the things that you just spoke on and what you laid out in the book as well, you know, it takes having a biblical worldview in order to discern these things. And the sad thing about it is most Christians in our nation, and even pastors, unfortunately, they don't have a biblical worldview. And
that's true. And, because they do not know the word.
Exactly.
You know, you've got to spend some time in the word to have a biblical worldview.
Exactly.
And the polls overwhelmingly show that most of the people in this nation, like 75% of the people in this nation who claim to be Christians, do not have a Christian worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And also another thing I've noticed is that pastors in this nation will not talk about the wrath of God. The wrath of God is probably the most ignored topic in all of Christendom. And I have found that many of them do not believe in it. I cannot tell you how many pastors have told me, David, don't talk about the wrath of God. That's the Old Testament God. We're in the New Testament now. The New Testament God is a God of love and grace and righteous love and grace. The Old Testament God is a God of justice and wrath and all that sort of thing. Well, I got news for these guys. They need to get their theology straight. The Bible says God is unchangeable, that the God of yesterday is the God of today and will be the God of tomorrow. He is unchangeable. That's taught in both the Old Testament and New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. He showed grace in the Old Testament. He showed wrath. He is showing us grace today. And he also shows us wrath. There's different types of the wrath of God, and one of them is called abandonment wrath. And abandonment wrath is mentioned in Romans chapter 1. Everybody listening to this ought to immediately read Romans chapter 1. Take them a few minutes, and they'll see what I mean by abandonment wrath. Here's what it means. It says in Romans chapter 1 that when a nation God's blessed turns against him, that God will step back, lower his hedge of protection around that nation, and allow a outbreak of sexual immorality. And that occurred in this nation in the 1960s with the hippie movement and the movement of do what you please and sexual freedom and all that. That's what it says, number one. Then it says, if the nation refuses to repent, God will step back a second time, lower the hedge of protection further, and there will be an outbreak of a plague of homosexuality, that men will do things that are unconscionable with other men and the same women with women. And it just says this point blank. And it says, and that happened in this nation beginning in the 80s and going through the 90s. this outbreak of homosexuality, which has become an absolute plague today. Then he says, number three, that if the nation refuses to repent, he will step back a third time and he will lower the hedge of protection and he will deliver the nation over to depraved minds. And that's where we are today. We are a nation that is being led by depraved minds. Everywhere we look, we are seeing things that only a depraved mind would say. Defund the police, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Make pedophilia legal. There are people who are actually advocating this today. Make pedophilia legal. Gambling legal. This and they can just go on and on and on. Every abomination known to man, they want to legalize.
Wow.
Because they've been turned over to depraved minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see Romans 1 playing out right in front of us in our nation. It's really, really troubling to see. Dr. Reagan, how can our listeners get a copy of this book, America's Suicide?
Well, you can go to the ministry's website at lamblion.com. That's at lamb, L-A-M-B, lion, L-I-O-N.com. No and in the middle, just lamblion.com. And you can order it there or you can call the ministry at the telephone number you'll find on the website.
Dr. Reagan, thank you so much. It is always a blessing and an honor to talk with you. Thank you so much for coming on and speaking with us today. And I pray that God will just continue to bless you as you continue doing work for his kingdom, even in your days of retirement.
Well, thank you, Brian. And all I can say is that I have enormous respect for you and your ministry. You are one of the most erudite speakers around on Bible prophecy. You know how to talk where people understand. You are right on base with regard to what the Bible says about end time prophecy. And I congratulate you on the fact that you've never wallowed in sensationalism like so many Bible prophecy teachers have done.
Thank you so much for those kind words. God bless
all
you.
Right.
Well, folks, that will do it for this week, but please come back and join us next time as Dr. Reagan will be back with us for part three and the conclusion of our discussion on his book, America's Suicide. Until then, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless God's great nation of Israel. And to the only wise God, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Discerning the Times. Please come back and join us next week as we continue to encourage you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and seek first the kingdom of God.
Discerning the Times is presented by Blessings to Israel.